It was right around midnight that this post appeared on X, along with the song that we won't play lest we have to give a big fat check to the folks.
You
from
got
Styx,
the money.
The song.
You got the money.
The soundtrack.
Dish it out.
Renegade. You can pay for it.
You got all this money.
Like
you buying
it.
All
I can't
these
do
jerseys.
I've tried that before.
You want it? Let's go,
well,
Steelers.
I finally.
Who are you? So
have
you,
a reason?
Are you switching now? Are you
to
switching
wear the jersey
from the Vikings to the Steelers?
I might.
You might,
depending upon how today goes. If the Vikings QB1 by Wednesday is Mason Rudolph or Zach Wilson or, dare I say, Sam Darnold, although Darnold I could get behind if I had to.
Right.
I could get behind Darnold if I had to. If it's Mason Rudolph or Zach Wilson or someone of that ilk, all due respect to those guys, and Rudolph actually showed something late in the year, which makes last night's news more surprising, I may have to consider my options. But for now, Russell Wilson considered his options, and he announced last night with that post that he's going to Pittsburgh. Some of the insiders who were handed the information, either by his agent or whoever, followed up with the obvious that he's going to sign with the Steelers. And the other most obvious aspect of this, it's going to be for the league minimum $1.21 million, and he's going to stick the Broncos with the balance of his $39 million fully guaranteed compensation package, which is just another way that that trade and the contract become even worse, Chris. It's already god-awful for the Broncos.
Yeah.
If this boomerangs into the Steelers being great with Russell Wilson,
yeah,
it really does make it the worst trade of all time.
Well, yeah, it's up there already. I don't think it even matters, you know, what happens with the Steelers. It's going to be always talked about in that light, right? I mean, it doesn't matter. The money, the draft picks, everything, the results they got, you know, two different head coaches, no matter what's going down. But I think, like, you might be able to get it to a point where it's like, undoubtedly, whoa, that was the worst trade ever. If things, you know, are a little different here with the Steelers, I hear you there, definitely, right? But this is big news, really. I kind of had a little birdie let me know yesterday that this might happen. I went to bed before the news broke, but kind of the whole day was expecting to hear it at some point. Woke up this morning at 5:30 and saw, you know, my phone had all these alerts, texts from the, you know, our text chain and all that. And I went, well, here we go. Let's ride, baby. And I thought of you right away because you're such a psychological mess. I don't know what to think of you when it comes to as a football fan, a psychological mess. You know, we should take people behind the curtains a little. I mean, you're now Kirk Cousins, now him signing with the Vikings matters. 2 days ago, you were ready to throw his ass out the door for Baker Mayfield. I hope the Vikings make a play for Baker Mayfield. 1 day ago, sorry, until he signed it.
18 hours ago.
Yeah. Now you're on the damn Steelers. I can't figure you out. What the hell is wrong with your brain? I don't know. We're all trying.
And we're going to talk about Cousins later. I mean, I think my concern for any organization that aspires to run in a functional manner, whether it's football, baseball, software, is to have a good contingency plan for the possibility you're going to lose a key employee.
Right.
You can't just sit there and wave farewell to the guy who decides to leave. You better have a replacement ready to go when you've had reason to know that there's a chance the guy's going to leave. You're going through the contract negotiations. He's not accepted your proposal. He has the right to go anywhere he wants. Free agency fully blooms as it relates to Kirk Cousins for the second time in his career. You better be ready.
Yeah.
And in my mind, Baker Mayfield and or Russell Wilson would have been highly acceptable and advisable plan Bs for the Vikings, and now they are both out. We'll talk first about Wilson. And I think what makes this the worst trade ever, if Wilson flourishes in Pittsburgh, is the fact that we've never seen that third act from a bad trade before. Boom, team gives up a lot of stuff for guy. Boom, guy sucks in his next destination for whatever reason.
Right.
Act three, he goes somewhere else.
And revives.
And turns it around.
Yeah, you're right. I can't think
That's
of one.
That's not
like
happened.
That.
Herschel Walker didn't do it.
Right.
You know, maybe Deshaun Watson will do it if and when the Browns move on, but they don't have an escape hatch. They're stuck. And maybe the Broncos will ultimately wish they were stuck too and didn't have an escape hatch if Wilson goes to Pittsburgh and plays well. But let's take this all the way back.
Yeah.
I think it's like 3 weeks ago. Because Jerry Dulac of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette reported on a weekend, and it was kind of buried in a story that focused on the existence of internal conflict within the Steelers as to whether Kenny Pickett or Mason Rudolph will be the guy for 2024. But it was clear it was going to be one of them.
Yeah.
Because in that same story, Dulac said the Steelers are not interested in a veteran with aspirations to start. Period. End of statement. That's it. And this is a guy that's covered the Steelers forever. Forever.
Yeah.
And I don't think it was a coincidence that he's the one of all the people out there swarming around, and it gets worse this time of year because you're swarming. Local reporters, national reporters, anybody who tries to get an insight. Dulac's the one who is handed the news that Russell Wilson is visiting the Steelers. See, that's the makeup for whoever gave him bad information 3 weeks ago. Whoever led him down the wrong path is making up to him, is repairing the relationship with the guy who's one of the primary beat writers covering the team by handing that to him. Somebody, and I'm not going to say they screwed up, they had a change of heart. I know at the scouting combine, the vibe was, they really are going to do this Kenny Pickett, Mason Rudolph thing. They're really committed to this bit of Pickett and Rudolph. This is what they're going to do. Something happened. And maybe it was, it went so well. Yeah, what the hell? We'll take a flyer, we'll bring in Russ, and it went perfectly well. It was explained to me over the weekend because you had the Giants and the Steelers both meet with him late last week.
Right.
For $1.21 million, how do you not talk to him?
Yeah.
Mitchell Trubisky got $2.5 million from the Bills to be the backup. $1.21 million, you talk to this guy and see if there's a fit. Steelers did. And how do you say no to that? $1.21 million for a guy who was on track to the Hall of Fame before things went sideways for him and the Broncos the last 2 years. No brainer.
Yeah. No brainer all along. I mean, I think as soon as we knew Russell was done with Denver, I mean, we kind of went, hey, Pittsburgh makes a lot of sense. I think Pittsburgh is a tactically smart football team when it comes to this type of stuff. They've always kind of sat in the background. They've never been like, we're going for this guy. We're going to do this. That's not who they are. I think it's a little bit of like, let's not get the expectations of fans too high in case we can't deliver on a Russell Wilson so we don't disappoint them there, let alone, yeah, I don't think they want to hear all that conversation, you know, and I think that's part of it. All right, hey, there's no interest. Maybe that keeps his price tag down. They're smart. It's the family business. Mike Tomlin's not into that type of stuff either, of just throwing, you know, the organizational plans out there so he and everybody else in the organization has got to answer to what they think they might do and all of that. That's distractions for Pittsburgh Steeler football. But, man, I mean, I love it. I do love it. I really do from every aspect here. I like it for Russell Wilson. Of course I like it for the Steelers, right? I mean, the Steelers won. We don't know what was going to happen with Mason Rudolph. He's still a free agent. I don't expect him to be back with the Pittsburgh Steelers now, so he'll go somewhere else.
Not now.
Right. But at the same time, like you and I talked about, not only during the season and I think other times as well, is – hey, there's a beacon of hope that is missing there in Pittsburgh, and I think that's because of the quarterback situation. The quarterback gives everybody the beacon of hope. Oh, wait, we got that guy. We get this guy. You know, we got one more guy on defense. We do this. Watch out. We can be something. I don't think there's that belief in that organization behind Kenny Pickett. You heard me say during the regular season last year, there were people there then that wanted to bench him before he got hurt for Mason Rudolph. So there is some of that. And then as we know, Russell Wilson, yeah, the last 2 years have been crappy, but last year wasn't that crappy. He was managed. It wasn't to Sean Payton's likings, but it wasn't that bad to where you were like, whoa, he can't play football anymore, right? So here's a guy that, yeah, last 2 years haven't been great, but I think he does give the beacon of hope a little bit for the team once again, and he'll revive the locker room that way. And I think that's where it's great value for Russell Wilson and the Steelers when they come together like this.
What makes it so surprising is even though it did make sense, and I was with you, who would not want to explore Russell Wilson for $1.21 million despite everything we've seen the last 2 years? It is a bargain. Dollar for dollar, there's never been a quarterback with his accomplishments available for that kind of money. How do you not look into it? But it's out of character for the Steelers to actually do something like this. They don't do things like this. They don't throw a Kenny Pickett overboard after 2 years. Now, that's the other side of this, too. This is why I thought Russ should maybe be very leery. And there had to have been something said when they met with him on Friday to convince him that he should be willing to compete, he should be confident that he can win, and he should be mature enough to accept the fact that if Kenny Pickett is better than him, he won't play. Because that's how it's going to go. And my concern would be, if it's close, they're going to err on the side of Kenny Pickett. But maybe by the time we get
Maybe
they're going to be enough Russ jerseys out there and enough excitement from the Steelers
fans that this is a new day,
a new chapter,
right,
that maybe it really is a fair fight. And I also, I think from, like, because one of the other things, and, you know, if you, and I think you said this last week, if you bring Russ to town, you bring the entire Russell Wilson Let's Ride experience, and it can become a distraction.
Right.
But think about it. And this is one of the reasons why I'm glad that the jersey I have is George Pickens. Because Mike Tomlin is a master of taking the bad kind of distraction that a player can create and pushing it in the right direction.
Yeah, right.
This is, if you're going to have a player-initiated distraction, like years of Antonio Brown being the Antonio Brown that we now know, he wasn't all that different during his years in Pittsburgh. Mike Tomlin knew how to keep him under control. So after years of dealing with guys who might be inclined to be distractions in a bad way or in a worse way, this is a distraction that Mike Tomlin could deal with because he just has a conversation or two with Russ, especially because Russ has been softened up by Sean Payton. Sean Payton went Bill Parcells on him last year.
Yeah, he's been softened up by everything.
So this is a way to find a middle ground here, and Tomlin can be good cop, and Tomlin can kind of tap into the aspects. And this is, becomes how a good coach can manipulate someone who's a, who's earnest and enthusiastic and wants to be great and just does it in a way that puts people off because it seems phony. If you're Mike Tomlin, you'd much rather mold that lump of clay than the guy who's got great talent, but he's inclined to be a pain in everyone's ass.
Yeah.
Give me the guy who wants to be great and just needs to be pointed in the right direction. I'll take that guy if I'm Mike Tomlin. And Tomlin will get him pointed in the right direction and channel that Russell Wilson enthusiasm and that just the way he's always been that has caused people to roll their eyes, caused the guys in Seattle to make fun of him behind his back. Go Hawks! All that stuff. Tomlin will take that. After the guys he's dealt with the last 15 years, he'll take Russell Wilson in a heartbeat.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, we know he's dealt with some personalities. You know, there's no doubt about that, right? You talked about the Russell Wilson Kenny Pickett thing. You know, talking about if it's close or whatever else. Mike, I think, you know, hey, Kenny Pickett, this has beyond been put on notice here. You know, this is like, yeah, it's Russell Wilson. He's won a Super Bowl. I don't care that he's making the veteran minimum. He's making $37 million from another football team. Everybody in the locker room is going to know that, let alone they know that, damn, the guy won a Super Bowl and, you know, was one stupid play call from the offensive coordinator away, just running up the middle, and he'd have two Super Bowls, right? Now, it didn't work well with Nate Hackett, and it didn't go to as planned as Sean Payton, but it was better. And I think the thing you said as far as, like, channeling Russell Wilson, I like that phrase because, one, you know, I do think Russell Wilson, yeah, you're kind of on your last leg here. So he's going to have to conform to the Steelers, Mike Tomlin, what they want, right? And where I think it's a perfect fit, because we didn't, like, I didn't even get to this yet, the X's and O's part of this and how it goes together. I also think Russell Wilson's style of play is a perfect fit with the Steelers. This is closer to, it's going to be closer to the style of play that he had with the Seattle Seahawks in their Legion of Boom years, Mike, right? right? I mean, Russell Wilson, the problem he's not with Sean Payton and he's had some struggles is he's not consistently surgical, right? It's not week after week, 28 for 34 for 315, and I just execute the offense. We know, you know, right? When we talk about Russell Wilson in his prime, it was run the ball, be conservative, you know, run the ball, be conservative. Ooh, wait, I can scramble here. Oh, all right, here's a little completion. All right, I'm being conservative. Oh, somebody's open deep, you know, five throws later, boom, I hit that. I've kind of scrambled around, and I take care of the football. He was raised by a defensive head coach. That's why I like this, because of course, that's the way the Steelers play a little anyways. And I think they have the team with the guy you're wearing the jersey with and Deontay Johnson and all that, and then the running back situation, and I would expect them to continue to improve their offensive line here a little bit, and it was improved, that they'll be able to play that style of football. You add Arthur Smith into that equation, right, who already believes in that, the Mike Vrabel, Tennessee Titans. Hey, Ryan Tannehill, hand it off. You know, hand it off. Here's a little completion. Oh, boom, we drew one up in the dirt. You hit the bomb, right? So I hope I'm articulating that the right way. I know I said a lot of things right there, but I think you know what I mean there as far as, you know, style of play from the player, style of play from the team, and what the head coach wants. That's where I think it really will match up well with Russell Wilson and the Pittsburgh Steelers.
That's the key. And remember, it was the success that he had in a very basic offensive approach in Seattle,
yes,
coupled with a great defense.
That's it.
That caused him to become, and there's always a fine line between confidence and delusion.
Yeah.
He became delusional about the fact that in the right circumstance, he could be Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen.
Yeah.
He saw these younger quarterbacks passing him by. At one point, you had him as high as number three,
yeah,
on your quarterback
early
rankings,
on, you're right.
And nobody said, geez, he must be smoking even more than usual to have him up at number three.
Yeah, right.
It was that the younger guys passed him up, and he became mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all. I got to be like these guys who are showing up, and they're better than me. So I need to be in a place where I can be as good as them.
Yeah.
So give me that. Give me that. Okay, go take it. Oh, I can't do that.
Yeah, I'm
I can't
not that.
Be
right.
The guy when it's all about me. Now, and again, it all came down to pre-snap stuff, getting the play in, making the adjustment to the line of scrimmage. The Steelers have to understand what they're getting and work with it. But you're right. He throws one of the best deep balls in the NFL.
Exactly.
He gets out of the pocket, scrambles a little bit, sets up, and fires. You got 14 running down there for a 50-50 ball. That's one of the reasons why I'm glad this is the jersey I have. This could rejuvenate George Pickens. Because really, at the end of the day, last year, you know, you could talk about Matt Canada all you want, but and I don't want to turn this into crap on Kenny Pickett Day, but we've said this before.
Yeah.
There's nothing he does that makes you say, wow,
right,
do that again. It's just very meat and potatoes, between the lines,
yep,
run the offense.
Right.
The concern that you raised 2 years ago, if the Panthers had taken Kenny Pickett, when we were trying to figure out where that subpar class of quarterbacks was going to end up,
right,
between Pickett, Malik Willis, and Matt Corral, where are they going to end up? Well, if you take Kenny Pickett to Carolina, where they had Sam Darnold, and Pickett shows up the first day and he starts throwing the ball around, then Darnold starts throwing the ball around, people are going to say, well, why'd we draft him?
Right.
We
right.
got him.
Right.
This guy throws it better.
Right.
So, you know, that I think is the kind of thing that the Steelers do this the right way.
Yeah.
And you couple it with the defense that they have, it becomes very interesting. And the Broncos are going to be paying $38 million.
That's crazy.
To watch what Russell Wilson does with the Pittsburgh Steelers. So I suspect that meeting went incredibly well on Friday in Pittsburgh. And the one thing that does surprise me, though, and maybe this is just the first sign of the compromise that Mike Tomlin is willing to engage in, because the idea of Russ being the one to control the announcement, Russ being the one to announce it at midnight, you know, at a time when there's a certain amount of drama and showmanship to it, that's the kind of thing that maybe Tomlin wouldn't want him to do. So maybe Tomlin understands, I'll give a little,
yeah,
and get a
right,
lot.
Right.
I'll work with
that's
this guy.
Right.
I'll indulge his nature to be a little flashy, to be a little strategic.
Yeah.
to be a little prefabricated.
Self-serving for
I'll
himself.
I'll deal with
Yeah, right.
I'll deal with that.
Right.
I'll deal with that because what I'm going to get out of it is volunteers, not hostages. I got a guy who wants to be here. I got a guy who chooses this team. He could have chose any team in the NFL, and my guess is a lot of teams. At the end of the day, if you just boil it down to $1.21 million for Russell Wilson on your depth chart, there's a lot of teams that would have said, okay, for $1.21 million, yeah, because that's nothing for a quarterback. At any spot on your depth chart, one, two, or three, we're getting this guy. We have an opportunity to kind of, you know, rekindle some things here, get to number seven, pass up the Patriots. Who knows what the Steelers could do with that defense. Consider what they did last year and how far they got last year with Kenny Pickett and Mason Rudolph. You throw Russell Wilson in there, if he can turn the clock back just a couple of years, they're going to be viable in the AFC North, in the AFC, and who knows? Who knows? Who knows where it goes from there?
Yeah, no, it could be scary. It could be. You know, I think there's potential in that Steelers roster, like we talked about. You know, you get through free agency, the draft here, we could have a totally different thought on their football team, you know, come 7 weeks from now, where we just go, whoa, wow, they got this guy here and that guy here. And wow, now they got Russell Wilson. But I think the big thing is, like you talked about, right? Kenny Pickett, you know, has done a nice job. You know, it's solid. It's all that. But I don't think it's to the point where, one, there's no elite skill that everybody jumps onto, right? And then there's not that beacon of hope, what I call it, you know, in the locker room. Like, oh, we got him. So we'll be able to beat Joe Burrow this weekend. He's not scared of Joe Burrow. He's not scared of, you know, this quarterback. It doesn't matter. Lamar, okay, here we go, right? Now there's going to be a different feeling with Russell Wilson. There will be, you know, and that's where I think they're a desperate football team for that type of leadership or that guy on the offensive side of the ball, right? You know, they had it 5, 6, 7 years ago when Ben Roethlisberger was in his prime, but I don't think they had that even towards the last few years of his career. I think they knew, like, hey, we got to kind of play a certain style now with Ben. This isn't like old Ben where he could kind of put us on his shoulders at a certain point in the game and just take over, and we go, damn, we didn't even play good, but Ben balled out and we won the game, right? So it's been a while since they've had that type of guy here. And Russell Wilson does still have that aura. And Russell Wilson, I could see him coming in there on Friday and meeting them and them going, whoa, you know, he does have a little bit of a strong personality. And there is a presence to Russell Wilson. Whether you think it's nerdy, dorky, contrived, whatever, if you've been around Russell Wilson, he does have a presence. You do go, damn, you know, he's very, you know, believes in what he is, and he's just, I don't even know the word I want to use, strong that way, I guess is just what I'm trying to say. And I could see the organization meeting with him and going, wow, I mean, man, you know, he's determined. He wants to lead. He's excited to play ball, right? I think maybe we should try to, you know, dig into this a little deeper. I'm sure he impressed that way, let alone, again, I don't think they got a quarterback and haven't had one there that kind of does that. That, like, hey, I'm the man, right? I'm back in the great quarterback. When they go in the building, like Aaron Rodgers, the Jets last year, everybody talked to him with the Jets. Oh, my God, Aaron Rodgers. When you haven't had a big-time star quarterback in the building in a while, you get one and you start to go, whoa, the building's different when he's in here. And I'm sure that, you know, hit the Steelers a little bit in the face on Friday as well.
Well, I mean, think about how long it's been since they had a guy,
yeah,
with that kind of,
right,
and it's a different charisma than what Terry Bradshaw has,
right? That kind of zest and
but
like everything.
The guy who's just got, and like you said, there's a difference between the public persona and the presence in a public place. If that makes any sense whatsoever, what we see from him, some of the little goofy things, the subway dangerous TikTok video, and I used a gif of it today, but you know, he gets clowned about certain things, but when it's time for Russ to go be Russ and like walk through, you know, it's like, right, he's
a star
aura about,
right,
him,
right,
and he wants to win. There's nothing there that is malicious. He's just concocting this image that he thinks goes with his desire to be a great quarterback. People think he tries to play the role of a great quarterback, and you can't carve through that shell to the real boy, man, whoever,
yeah,
is lurking inside of,
right,
there,
right,
that, you know, we don't know who the real Russ is because it's always been this facade. But the facade works. It worked in Seattle. And we'll see if it works in Pittsburgh. But contrast it with And I don't want, I didn't want to turn this into bash Kenny Pickett Day. I don't want it to be bash.
Well, we're not bashing him. We're just, these are the things that are being said about him that we know and that are real.
Well, it's all, I remember all the stories when young Ben was in Pittsburgh and how aloof and standoffish he was.
Yeah.
And the teammates weren't really all that enamored with the way he conducted himself.
Right.
And then you had the off-field stuff. Now, he did a great job of rewriting the narrative in the years that he spent in Pittsburgh after his four-game suspension to start the 2010 season. Great job turning it around. Great job making people forget a lot of the bad stuff. But what a contrast in personalities. I mean, because even now, you've still got some of that Roethlisberger look at me. You've got some of that Roethlisberger vibe. The inclination to exaggerate and embellish and overstate and make it all about him. I mean, Russ makes it all about him in a different way. But again, that's what the star athletes do. I'm not indicting the process. All I'm saying is this is just another reason why, from Tomlin's perspective, it's got to be a breath of fresh air. It's a good problem to have. When you have this guy who wants to be great, who wants to do the right things, who wants to say the right things, who's coached himself up into this persona where he's always positive.
Right.
He's always glass half full. He's always go Hawks. Let's ride. Here we go.
Right.
Let's forge. Whatever it's going to be in Pittsburgh. That, for Tomlin, yes, sign me up for that any day of my life. Because I've been dealing with these buttholes that I have to try to get to, and I mean that in kind of a jovial way, that I've been trying to have to get from Roethlisberger to Antonio Brown to this guy and that guy. Like, this is great. I'll take this. Yes, let's ride. Yes, go Hawks. Yes, here we go.
Yeah.
Here we go indeed. So, yeah, Tomlin's
got
to be loving this.
Yeah, you're right.
And remember, we talked about it, that whole Eastern Virginia connection, that whole Eastern Virginian thing. That's why Mike Vick was there. I mean, Mike Tomlin pulled off Mike Vick in Pittsburgh as a backup. And Russ got that. There's always that natural connection. And my guess is Tomlin took that as the starting point to say what he needed to say. And it worked.
Yeah.
And it worked.
Yeah.
And we'll see how it works on the field.
You're right.
But
we're going to see.
It's kind of like last point, and then I'll shut up. We talked last week about the 2017 draft, I think it was. And T.J. Watt goes number 30 to Pittsburgh. And the feeling when that happened was like, did nobody realize what this guy might be? Apparently, the Steelers did. And I kind of feel that same thing here. Like, if Russ goes anywhere else, it's not that same. You know what? They kind of know. They kind of know what's what. For them to deviate from the way they do business so sharply to go get this guy for $1.21 million, It's kind of like, yeah, they kind of know what they're going to get here, and they kind of know how it could go.
Well, I think it's one where they meet the person, and then they think about the style of football they play, and they go, wait, he's going to fit with how we want to do things here. Let alone, I think they're thirsty for leadership, energy at the quarterback position. I think that's what we're kind of saying there, right? You know, he might be corny, he might be cheesy, it doesn't matter. What he is going to be is ultra professional. And try to lead the football team to a capacity that they haven't had there in a few years. And that's going to rub off on their football team. They're going to like that. You're going to know who the commander is there as far as Russell Wilson at quarterback. And then, yeah, to your point there, I think there's a little something, too, again, with the style of play. I don't think Mike Tomlin's not looking necessarily for a Peyton Manning, Tom Brady in the prime of their offense type of like quarterback right now. I think the way he looks at his team, he wants to play smash mouth football. Let's run the ball. Let's control the clock, right? Some high percentage passes. And when we get teams to creep up, hey, we got a guy back here that can launch the ball deep to George Pickens or Deontay Johnson, and you better watch out. I think that's – and then, hey, we'll get back to the defense. Hey, TJ, now you make a play. Minka, make a play. And I would expect them to improve their defense in free agency in the draft here too. So that's where I think it really fits. And I think Arthur Smith too, him being the new offensive coordinator, has his style of play there that I really think fits Russell Wilson too. It's more along the lines, again, of old school Russell Wilson in Seattle. It's going to be, yeah, we're going to run the ball. It's going to be a bootleg. It's going to be play action pass, and we're going to work here. And then when we feel like the timing is right, hey, Russell, you throw a pretty deep ball like you talked about, Mike. You throw it high and far. Just launch it because we feel like we know what they're doing now. And I got a few plays every week that I draw up in the dirt and go, at the right time, I'm going to call this. And that's what he did for Ryan Tannehill when they were, of course, you know, a number one seed or in the AFC championship game. And I think that's why it really fits Pittsburgh. The big question now is, what does he actually say? I mean, we had Go Hawks and we had Let's Ride and all that. What fits in Steeler Town? What fits in Pittsburgh? What do you think he's going to say, Mike?
I think here we go is the low-hanging fruit. That's the most obvious. Although Let's Forge, I think, would be,
that'd
be a daring choice by him.
Let's Forge.
But here we go, I think, is probably the default. And here we go indeed. Consider this.
Yeah.
Magic number for right now, $250.4 million. You know what $250.4 million is? That's the amount of cap space the Steelers are going to have at all positions other than quarterback for their team this year.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing.
250.4 for all of your other positions except quarterback at a time when you've got Josh Allen, cap hit going to $47 million. You've got, if Kirk Cousins leaves the Vikings, $28 million in dead cap that hits this year from his contract because of kicking the can in past years. You've got $5 million devoted to the quarterback position this year for the Pittsburgh Steelers, which allows them to more easily manage. And they're one of the few teams that is kind of low-key always bumping up against the cap.
Yeah, right.
And always having to just do a little here and do a little there and do a little here because they want to win. That's the thing. They're the one team, and maybe this gets back to why they did what they did. They're the one team that when they say we want to win the Super Bowl every single year, they mean it. They don't make decisions now for next year. They make decisions now for now because they want to win it now.
Yeah.
They're screwing around with the cap every year. They're never going to say, well, you know what? Let's just go ahead and take that big dead money charge now because we're going to stink this year. They always believe they have a chance. With Mike Tomlin, they have a chance. The roster has been not spectacular in recent years, and he's taken it, and he's turned it into a competitor every year. So they keep doing what they have to do to try to win now. So that's another reason why it made sense for them to change their ways. And maybe this will be, you know, a new era for the Steelers where they recognize there are times where you have to deviate from the way you do things. But again, to have it fall out of the sky like this at $1.2 million, yeah, you're not going to go chase a stranger of the organization and pay him market value and make your cap situation worse for a guy who became a free agent for a reason. Oh, we're going to pay this guy huge money? Well, why didn't his last team pay him huge money? He's been there 5 years. Why aren't they paying him? Why are we paying him? What's wrong with this picture? That's why they don't do that. I say that every year this day, the start of the legal tampering period. And yes, I call it the legal tampering period in part because it irritates that people say, it's not the legal tampering period, it's a legal negotiation period. It's legal tampering because the illegal tampering already is happening. That's why I call it legal tampering, because the illegal stuff has happened for weeks. But on this day, my point is always this. The guys who are becoming available today are available for a reason. And one of the reasons is the team that's had them under contract has decided too rich for our blood. So that's why I think the Steelers typically don't make these big splashes. It's usually a guy from the Steelers that gets made a big splash somewhere else. But to get Russ for this amount of money, yes, it's obviously a no-brainer. It's a coup for the Pittsburgh Steelers to get this guy. Whatever he can do now, it's still better than $1.21 million. Wherever he is after 2 years of whatever that was in Denver, it's still better, dollar for dollar, than $1.2
million. Yeah, well, yeah, it's better than $1.2 million, no doubt about that, let alone I sit here and say it's better than the options they got in the locker room as far as the human beings to play quarterback. That's the big thing, right? And, yeah, that's where I'm excited about it. We wondered. We had questions. Sean Payton, Russell Wilson, a lot of football was like, is that really going to work, right? Are we sure that's going to happen? Because we know, one, the way Sean Payton is, it's demanding. It's a ton of offense. It's a lot of rules. It's 9 million plays. And Russell Wilson had not been a part of anything like that to that capacity. Again, I go back to, yeah, he played with Pete Carroll, and he was brought up through the defensive mind, the defensive style of football, the defensive head coach. This is how we manage the football game. And that is differently, right? Pete Carroll was, hey, don't make a mistake. Hey, just don't make a mistake. We got a good defense. Just keep us in it. Just keep us in it. You're Russ. You just keep us in it. Late in the game, you'll be clutch. You'll make the plays happen. You do that. That's a different mindset than Sean Payton where, hey, we're going to come out 72Z, big O, hey, we're going to alert the clap. We're going to check the choice. We're going to go 358 cannon, blah, blah, blah. Like, it's a, we want to attack. We want to attack. I want you to audible to this when we're in this formation. Or if they do that, I want you to audible to that, right? That's not what he's been doing. And that locked him up, I think. I do think it locked him up because I think he was, like, thinking so much. He was like, wait, that guy's open? Hold on. I was still thinking of the check. I don't even know what to do. I didn't pull the trigger on throwing the football. So hopefully this can be a style of play and some coaches that can, you know, unleash the old Russ as far as how he played and feeling confident that way. And I think the style of play that I've seen from Mike Tomlin and Arthur Smith over the years would lead me to believe that Russell Wilson's going to fit that mold.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, this is an interesting and compelling development. And coupled with what happens the rest of today, you might want to get used to me in black and gold.
Well, I mean, it is your second favorite team. It doesn't matter what you say, right? Anybody that knows you knows that the Steelers are your second favorite team. Right now, it's like, damn, I know. It's like 1A and 1B. It's the gap has closed here. And if the Vikings don't get a Kirk Cousins and you got a bad quarterback, yeah, this will be a fun year watching you. I don't know what you're doing. You're going to talk bad about the Vikings and speak well about the Steelers. So I'm kind of exciting. I'm kind of rooting for dysfunction in Minnesota today for those reasons.
Just to reset what we discussed at the top of the show.
Yeah.
As the Vikings ponder what they're going to do with Kirk Cousins, for me personally, my own personal preference, separate and apart from my journalistic responsibilities here and elsewhere, my own personal preference was that the Vikings keep Kirk Cousins but have Baker Mayfield or Russell Wilson as plan B. And I was becoming very
that was plan B, huh? It sounded like it was plan A to me in Florio's world.
Russell Wilson. Well, at one point Baker Mayfield was plan A, but yeah. Russell Wilson for $1.21 million, younger than Kirk Cousins, not coming off a torn Achilles tendon.
That's right.
That was becoming, and also the idea that you give him to Kevin O'Connell.
I know.
And let him work his Josh Dobbs magic,
yeah,
right?
I hear
and
you.
Have him for the full offseason to get the offense ready to go. So that was what we brought up earlier. And so when we return, why Baker Mayfield will not be in play for the Vikings, what it might mean for Kirk Cousins, and what will happen today, tomorrow, Wednesday, at some point this week with the Vikings, Kirk Cousins, and perhaps the Atlanta Falcons. We'll discuss that next. On this first day of the legal tampering period edition.
Legal negotiations.
You got some big decisions to make, right? You got Baker, right? Where does that stand? Baker, Mike Evans, Antoine Winfield Jr., if you don't mind, just kind of discuss those a little bit without giving up too much of
your... No, give up all you want. Don't dissuade him. I'm giving that truth before we started for a reason.
Not him.
Well, we want them all back.
Yeah.
So, and we're talking to their representatives currently right now, and we'll continue to do that this week and next week, and hopefully get them all back.
Well, they have most of them back, and they have Antoine Winfield subject to the franchise tag. Mike Evans signed last week. And then it got a little dicey. And as of Friday, when they introduced the Mike Evans contract in Tampa Bay, Jason Light, the man you saw there 13 days ago with us at the scouting combine, he said basically at this point, Baker's going to see what's out there. And here's the reality. Baker had to know what was out there, what wasn't out there. He wouldn't have taken the deal yesterday. When he took the deal yesterday, he didn't just get up to the brink and not look over the edge. He's not standing at the starting line to free agency and deciding, screw it. I'll just take their best offer. He knows that something better isn't out there. He knows it. For whatever reason, it's not there. Either the Vikings aren't interested if Kirk Cousins leaves, or he's gotten the indication he's not leaving. Either way, he knows Minnesota isn't a viable option. And I was poking around last week about this, Chris, and I was told, look, here's the problem. He's got one other suitor. It's Minnesota if Cousins leaves. That's it. All these other teams that want quarterbacks want to go young.
They
it's
want
like
young.
The guy's
That's
28,
right.
not 38.
Yeah,
he's
I hear
28.
You.
But they want young. So it was Tampa Bay or Minnesota, and we don't know whether Minnesota was interested. We don't know where that stands. But at the end of the day, he had no reason to further delay. He took the deal. And this is one of these eye of the beholder deals. It's 3 years, $100 million. That averages 33.3 per year. But it's kind of 2 years, 60. So it's 30 per year. The number that came up in conversations I had last week was 31. So this is kind of on either end of 31. Could be 30, could be 33. He's got $5 million per year in incentives. We haven't seen the triggers yet. That could make it more interesting and more valuable for Baker Mayfield. I had kind of heard he's looking for 40, and it's not an unreasonable number in today's market and what he did last year. But if you don't have multiple teams at the table pushing that number higher and higher, you don't get there.
No.
You need somebody else. And at the end of the day, if there was somebody else, they weren't offering substantially more, if any more at all, than what the Buccaneers ultimately offered and what Baker Mayfield ultimately accepted.
Yeah, that's right. Well, you know, we talk about perception a lot of the time, right? And I mean, he had the years before this, not to his own fault, but he was in some tough situations there where, you know, it certainly helps maybe or hurt his ability to demand maybe north of $40 million. Either way, it's a really good deal, right? And the type of thing too, where you kind of mentioned it. Hey, the suitors out there right now. Hey, this is a good quarterback draft class. So yeah, people would rather young blank canvas. Let me work that guy up instead of a guy that's been tinkered with at a few places and has some ways about his game where he's set and this is what he wants to do. So that's where teams like the young aspect a little bit here. But yeah, when it comes down to it. You know, I think the other aspect is, like you talked about, is somebody else out there going to blow him away with a contract? Because to me, being an ex-quarterback, you know, being around the sport, you got to give me something significantly more for me to leave. Wait, the team I just was with that likes me, I've set the groundwork to be the leader of the football team, right? I got a connection with some of the guys on the offensive side of the ball, a.k.a. Mike Evans and all of that. Right. And I have a fan base that's behind me and like we're in cahoots here together as it's going to the playoffs last year. You don't just throw that away for, oh, Minnesota's offering me $1 million more or $2 million more. So agreed with you that he knew, you know, what the interest was out there as far as what he was going to get, let alone I think he's looking at it going, hey, the place I'm in is pretty damn good. They like me here. They want me to be the guy. I want to be the guy here. And I think this is why all the things we talked about leading up to this process of why they franchised Antoine Winfield Jr. They knew that because of the things I think we're both talking about, that they had the inside track, you know, logically, realistically, whatever way you want to say it, with Baker Mayfield and coming back to Tampa Bay.
We were always having the conversation at dinner at the scouting combine, the hypothetical conversation of what does the contract start with. And I said it has to start with a three. It has to start with a three. And you know, it feels right. Again, we'll see what the triggers are for the incentive package. $5 million a year can make it a huge difference, $35 to $38 million per year. But this is a good, fair deal. It's short term, gets him back to the market if he is having, and that's what's so weird about these teams that want to go young at quarterback. Quarterbacks are playing into their late 30s and into their 40s. Baker Mayfield in 3 years is going to be 31.
Yeah.
He's still going to have a lot of great football left in him.
Right.
And he's going to be back at the open market. Jason Light, very, very happy there with that gift from Napoleon Dynamite. His brother Kip celebrating whatever it was. I can't remember what it was, but he was very happy in that moment.
Wasn't that a bowling moment? Or no, am I right? I'm not sure.
I don't know.
Yeah, I can't remember either.
I don't know.
It's been a while.
But yes, Jason Light, who had a habit of jumping in a pool fully clothed when the Buccaneers won football games back in 2020 with Tom Brady, now happy they're keeping Baker Mayfield. A nice transition for them. A nice soft landing post-Tommy. They didn't fall apart. They're still relevant. They're still competitive. They're not in shambles like Tom's other former team. So good for the Buccaneers. Yeah. Good for them to keep Baker Mayfield. I like his attitude. I like what he embodies. I like what he brings to the table. It's funny because I tweeted last night that the deal was done and somebody responded, and I got to just quit reading those damn things because there's so much stupidity and moronity out there. But, oh, you always talk bad about him. It's like, are you serious? I talk bad about him. I got everything but a Baker Mayfield tattoo on my ass, for crying out loud. I love the kid. It just drives me crazy when
I mean, somebody makes a comment because they saw you say something 4 years ago, and they just go, well, yeah, that's the truth. And it's like, what? Are you kidding me? That's your information? You know, that's your base for that comment? Like, I mean, come on. Four years ago
when he was displaying,
right,
when he was displaying from
immature
time to time some antisocial behaviors,
right,
and he needed to be called out.
Yeah.
And he deserved to be called out.
Yeah, I hear
you. But that doesn't mean he's permanently that guy.
No.
That's one of the reasons I love him now. He's matured. He's developed. He's becoming the guy he was going to be in Cleveland. You know, we build him up, we tear him down, and then we root for them to have a great third act. I think that's one of the reasons why we're excited about Russell Wilson. And I'm not saying that any of it, it's like we deliberately tear him down, but that's just kind of that weird little human nature metronome that's inside of most people. It's just kind of like, oh, wow, look at that guy. Yeah, he's great, he's great. You know what, I'm kind of sick of him. Oh, he's you know, just let Russ cook, you know, he doesn't, you know, he's kind of getting a little too big, kind of thinks he's a little better than maybe he is. Oh, look at that, he's got his comeuppance, and now, oh, hey, look at this, fresh start for Russ. I mean, again, I'm not saying I feel that way. I'm just saying I love to be a student of human nature, and I think that we kind of, that's kind of how we ride sometimes. That's kind of how we go. We love that first wave, and we love to see them take it all the way to the top. And then they get to the top, we're like, yeah, I kind of had enough of this guy. And then they go down, and we're like, yeah, he got what he deserved. And then we're like, man, I want to see him rise again. It's just human nature.
Yeah,
and
I hear you.
I'm saying all that because Baker Mayfield is rising again. And it's good for him, and it's good for the Buccaneers. And I like how he's matured. I like how he's grown. And, yeah, He and Russell Wilson were my co-plan B for plan A in Minnesota. And, Chris, I assume we're going to find out today what is going to happen with Kirk Cousins.
I would think so.
I saw a report last night.
Yeah.
And I don't know what this was. He's expected to test free agency. The Vikings expect him to test free agency. Well, shit. Sorry, Glasgow. Shit, Kevin O'Connell told us 13 days ago. He told us, this is the stuff that drives me crazy. People are under so much pressure to break news, break news, break news, break news. They repackage old stuff and present it as something new. O'Connell said, we want him, but he's earned the right to bet on himself. He's earned the right to go to free agency. If he's not taking the deal now, yeah. See, that's the difference between him and Baker Mayfield. Mayfield knows there's nothing out there better than what's on the table, so he took it.
Right.
Cousins is either waiting or he knows. And I said weeks ago, hey, Minnesota, if you're going to wake up on this, you better wake up before everybody goes to Indy, because that's where he's going to find out who wants him. That's where he's going to find out who's truly interested. That's where he's going to get an inkling that it's worth his while to wait until noon Eastern, the start of the legal tampering period. And so, you know, I think at this point, I mean, it feels like you get this close. It feels like the ship is sailing. We'll see. Maybe somebody wakes up
know.
In Minnesota.
I don't know. I feel it's interesting. So you feel like more he knows he's got something brewing. I get the sense it's more waiting still. That's the sense I get, but I don't know here. Again, I haven't had a little birdie or any inside information on this one. I haven't heard much here, right? Now, we've talked about it at length in some other weeks here where, you know, again, you just evaluate the landscape. I mean, it's only one other team, right? I mean, that to me, at the end of the day, it's really what it is. Like, I don't think the Giants are going to be like, let's bring in one-legged Kirk Cousins. Maybe he can replace Daniel Jones, right? Let's, you know, who else am I? Washington. Hey, Washington. Oh yeah, we're bringing back Kirk Cousins. We're not gonna get the number two pick. We're not gonna get Jaden Daniels. I mean, it's Atlanta or nothing, it seems, right? And I know I talk to people or whatever, right? I have no feel that that's about to, you know, come down the tracks here at any moment, or the chickens are coming home to roost here. Like, right, with Russell Wilson, when I heard Friday that he was there, and then I sent out a few texts, I had a feeling that something yesterday morning, early afternoon, was going to happen, where I was like, well, I'm getting the sense here, right, that there's something going on here. This is getting hot. I haven't got that sense with the Kirk Cousins thing. And I feel like he's waiting for that to happen so he can maybe raise the price tag on Minnesota or whatever. But I haven't heard any substantial info to make me think the Atlanta thing's real. And maybe I'm just don't know. But what about you, Mike? You got anything that's real in that department?
Yeah, I mean, we talked about this last week.
Yeah.
Yeah, Atlanta's real from the standpoint of he is at least creating the impression
right.
He's taking Atlanta's interests seriously.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is that just the next step in the Lee Iacocca, Warren Buffett, Kirk Cousins guide to making a shitload of money? Maybe. Maybe he's playing the Vikings. Maybe he really isn't inclined to move an hour away from where his wife grew up. Maybe he really isn't serious about finding a house and school for his kids in Atlanta. Maybe that's all part of a broader ruse to get the Wilfs to overpay. But that, I mean, whatever's been going on, the Vikings are fully aware of it, and I don't think the Vikings have deviated yet from their position. See, what happened in Pittsburgh was they had a predetermined position, and they deviated from it after Friday. Or at least before Friday, whenever they decided to meet with him, they deviated from, we're fine with Kenny Pickett and Mason Rudolph. We don't want a veteran quarterback who aspires to start, as reported by a guy who's been covering the team forever. So something changed. In Minnesota, nothing's changed yet. It could change, but Minnesota's attitude has been, and I think this is a fairly obvious takeaway from what Kevin O'Connell told us 13 days ago. They have a number.
Yep.
And that's their number.
Yeah.
And if he can do better somewhere else, Godspeed. And they've stuck with that. Now, my sense is that whatever number he gets somewhere else, even if it is better than the Vikings, instead of just taking it and saying, see you later, he will give them a chance. He doesn't have to.
Yeah.
My kind of loose, rough sense is they believe he'll give him a chance.
Right.
And the truth is, just, you know, for the last 6 years, for old time's sake, because when this happened before for him in Washington 6 years ago, they didn't want him. There wasn't any last chance to be had for Washington to keep him in 2018.
No, but
it
he got
Jets
the
or
Jets,
Vikings.
Right, exactly, right.
Right, right. He had the Jets at the table. But with the Vikings, I think that if at 12:01 Eastern, when the deal parameters are texted to his agent, Mike McCartney, if it's better than what Minnesota has offered, they'll give the Vikings a chance. I think. I don't know that. That's just kind of my gut feel. I think that that's what will happen. He won't just say, Atlanta's come in a dollar higher. I'm out of here. Now, the Vikings have accepted the risk that that'll happen. And that was kind of the vibe I got when we were in Las Vegas and we were with Kirk, KJ Osborne. And then I walked out and my wife's talking to somebody. It's like, that person's familiar that my wife is talking to. Oh, it's Kirk's wife. Oh, hi, Julie. Nice to talk to you. We just talked a little bit. And just, you know, there's a certain amount of frustration that naturally emerges. And this is another aspect of human nature. You're working at one place. You're busting your ass. You're giving everything you have, except on Tuesday. I couldn't resist. You're giving everything you have.
I was, don't worry. If you didn't say it, I was going to say it.
And what appreciation do they show when it's time to, you know, extend the relationship? And, oh, here's this other company that I've never worked for that isn't being reluctant, that isn't being difficult, that isn't being standoffish about the future. They're ready to roll out the red carpet for me. You know, at some level, that's appealing. And, you know, is the grass greener? I don't know. We talked last week. Easier division. Got some great talent. Got a offensive coordinator that has the DNA connection back to the whole Sean McVay, Kevin O'Connell thing. So, I mean, we'll see. We'll see. I thought it was going to be the first domino to fall. I thought maybe some of these other guys would wait. But I also think part of this is the Vikings have made it clear that whatever their plan B is,
yeah,
it wasn't Baker Mayfield. It wasn't Russell Wilson. I think that's why those guys, one of the reasons why those guys did their deals. Not that Russell Wilson was linked to the Vikings at all. I thought the Vikings should be interested. Maybe he wasn't interested at all. But Baker Mayfield, I think one of the reasons he stayed put, the Vikings had just made it clear, you're not our plan B.
Yeah, I think the Vikings, I think, are still expecting Kirk Cousins to be their quarterback when all said and done. I would have a hard time thinking they didn't make a very fair offer, right? I don't think what they've said publicly would match up to, oh, wait, we lowballed the guy or did something like that. That doesn't make sense. I mean, we talked the GM, the head coach. I mean, it's all high praise. I would think it's something respectable. A little bit like we talked about with Baker Mayfield, I think Kirk Cousins is crazy if he just leaves to go to Atlanta for just a little bit more money. He's made a shitload of money. Sorry, London. Like, how much do you need? And you're in a spot where it's like it doesn't get much better for a quarterback. You got a genius head coach, and you got an unbelievable group of talent around you as far, and the best receiver in football, arguably, you know, him or Tyreek Hill or Ja'Marr Chase. I mean, come on. That's where I just look at it and go, wow. And then you heard me say last week, I think there's great risk from Atlanta too. I mean, yeah, okay, wait, you really want to do that? I mean, oh, you're a 35-year-old guy that's coming in on an Achilles, right? And there's no guarantees really going to be able to do much with you during OTAs. That's how we're going to start it off. That's where I just have a hard time believing that, too. I think in my heart of hearts, and again, I don't have much knowledge on this one, I think a lot of this is posturing and him just trying to hold the Vikings' feet over the fire for every last dollar. That's kind of his MO. That's what he does. So, and like I said, I've heard nothing substantial other than Kirk Cousins looked at schools and his wife looked at a house to make me think Atlanta's real. And that's where I'll be interested today when it hits 12 o'clock to see what happens here.
And we'll see.
Yeah.
And we'll see. And I have, look, this idea of squeezing every last dollar out of Minnesota, you still want to have a team around him. You still want to have enough left. And now I sound like you.
Well,
you sound like me and I sound like you talking about Patrick Mahomes. You got to have enough left to have a team around the guy. I mean, at least with Mahomes, it's working. In Minnesota, it's not working. And that's the other side of this, too, Chris. All right, let's do this. Let's say he goes.
Yeah.
Who would you pursue right now?
Gosh.
And there's a lot of guys out there. Who would you pursue?
Ooh. I'd probably look for a tandem of people, right? Because I don't know if I feel like any one guy is the answer, right? So, like, I mean, of course, Ryan Tannehill would be one of the names that pops up to my head right away, along with Sam Darnold. Those are two guys that I think of right of the way, and I need to pull up free agent quarterbacks because I'm probably missing some other ones, so maybe you can help me out there if I'm missing some names. But those would be the
How
two.
How about Gardner Minshew? How about Gardner Minshew?
I mean, yeah, okay. It'd be on the list for sure. I think I'd probably like the other two more, but I wouldn't be opposed to that. I mean, he would fit the mold too. So, yeah. I mean, again, we saw what Kevin O'Connell did with guys less than Gardner Minshew or Ryan Tannehill or Sam Darnold last year, right? So that's what I would look at. But I would probably want a combination of both. I wouldn't want to put all my eggs into either one of those guys just solely and go, well, we're trusting it with, you know, Ryan Tannehill or we're going all in with Sam Darnold. I think almost in my perfect world, I'd want to have two of those guys because I'm not sure that they can – you know, carry the load and the burden of the organization. They haven't done that yet in their career. Tannehill has, but the other two guys haven't yet to this point. And that's where, yeah, I would think those are three names that kind of popped in my head more than others.
I'm going to apply a twist to what you just said.
Okay.
Instead of going out and signing two veterans,
yeah,
you get one. And we see this every year.
Okay.
It's the Josh McCown. It's
yeah,
the Mike Glennon,
right,
the guy who's the starter for 6 weeks until they draft the guy who's going to be developed to become the starter
that
at some
be too
point.
Right.
Does the guy get a full year? Do they go Alex Smith, Patrick Mahomes? I don't know. That's what Gardner Minshew did last year. He signed with the Colts. He's their guy. And then they get Anthony Richardson, and he's not their guy until Richardson got injured. We've got on the list now Ryan Tannehill, Jacoby Brissett, Tyrod Taylor, Marcus Mariota, Sam Darnold, Drew Lock is in play. And we saw some stuff from Drew Lock last year with Seattle. It was kind of like, a little something there. Had that big performance, came in for Geno Smith, right? Got a big win in a primetime game. I mentioned Minshew. Flacco's out there, although if teams are looking to go young, I mean, I think the only real question with Flacco is he could end up being the backup in Cleveland, and if not Cleveland, where? So, you know, there's more names than usual, but there aren't.
But I think we hit
them.
The main ones. I think we hit the three that would make sense.
Zach Wilson. If they trade for Zach Wilson, I'm done. I'm sorry.
Nobody's trading for Zach Wilson. Don't worry. Nobody's trading
If Zach Wilson is released and ends up signing with the Vikings, I'm out.
Well, what if he ends up not? If he's like a third stringer, you're not over, right? I mean, he'd be perfect for that. He's the guy you want to be your third stringer because you go, well, damn, maybe in a few years he could be our starter. But I hear you. Yeah, Zach Wilson, no way. Nobody's trading for that. He is a beaten down puppy by the New York Jets fan base and the New York media. He needs to be brought somewhere and be able to fly under the radar for a few years and let grow as a player and get his confidence and, you know, his mechanics and everything back in a right spot. That's the big thing there. So I think we hit the three main names. With Mac Jones off the board now and in Jacksonville as the backup quarterback there, I think the three that we mentioned are the ones that will be at the top of the list there for Minnesota. But at the end of the day, I still think they want Kirk Cousins. They've said that. And I think Kirk Cousins is crazy not to want them. I do. He's in a place that likes them. They're good. They've built something, and he's getting older, and he's got an Achilles tear. When you're going to go to a place and go, wow, I'm going to go. This guy's never called offensive plays before. There's some question about the offensive talent. How good's Drake London, Kyle Pitts? Can we get that going? There's all these unknowns, and you're going to trade that in for, you know, something where Minnesota, to me, Mike, I mean, again, few defensive players here in free agency, and we're starting to go, damn, the Vikings, they were good last year. They just had fumbleitis and the injuries. Now they got this, and that's where, you know, hopefully they can get this done.
Maybe I'm just preparing myself for the inevitability, accepting that they're going to have to pivot to someone else. We'll see how it plays out today. And I think the issue with the contract, less about dollars and more about structure, because it's already been reported, and I have no reason to doubt this, that the Vikings don't want to give him another fully guaranteed contract.
Right.
They want to have an out. Right. Hey, if he tears the other Achilles tendon, you want to have an out. He's 35. He'll be 36 in August. You want to have protection. You don't want to get yourself in a situation where you need a collection of Zach Wilsons and Sam Darnolds for multiple years while you pay that cap bill.
So we're talking.
I got nothing against Zach Wilson.
Mayfield.
Back when I said earlier, I'm out if they get Zach Wilson.
I get you. Well, that's not going to happen. What? Don't worry. Mayfield-ish type of contract, but with higher numbers, right? You think that's maybe what we're looking at? 3 or 4 year deal with big money, kind of front loaded for the first 2 years, but they can kind of get out of it if it's not going the right way. I could see that being the case here. You know, again, especially with the age and the injury.
How about this?
Yeah.
I think we're onto something. I know we need to take a break,
yeah.
Courtney. I'm sorry, but I think we're onto something here. The Baker deal plus 50%. I think that's what it'll take. 45, 45, 45 with the first 45 fully guaranteed and half or two-thirds, 30 of next year guaranteed. So 3 years. $135 million, $45 million a year with $75 million fully guaranteed at signing. There, we just negotiated the contract. That still seems like a hell of a lot of money, but the cap is at $255.
Yeah, no, it's
a
lot of money.
I mean,
he'll be making more money than Matthew Stafford or Josh Allen or, you know, the old Patrick Mahomes average, whatever he's making.
Why you do short-term deals.
So,
that's why you don't sign Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes. That's why you don't sign a contract that carries you into your 30s. That's why. He signed 3-year deal, and he's done a little Band-Aid extension since then. You have to have faith in yourself that when you come back to market, you're still going to be desirable and teams are going to want you. That's why I remember when Mahomes did his deal. He signed for like 12 years. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
What are you doing? All because Lee Steinberg wanted to have the first $500 million contract sports.
Right.
That's why. No other reason. That's why.
Well, and the quarterbacks want to help their teams out.
No.
They want to help their teams out too. You know, I think there's that too, and they realize, hey, wait, I'm in a great place, and let's get something long term done, and I don't have to think about it ever again. And now you can formulate a great team around me because I'm great, and now we can, you know what it is, in the books every year. There is something to that, to where Kirk Cousins' approach is, yeah, there's a little unknown. And, oh, wait, the Vikings have holes everywhere on their football team? Oh, okay, well, yeah, okay. I mean, so there's that aspect too. And that's where, you know, hopefully there can be a middle ground here. You know, I would think Kirk Cousins, again, I know we're for getting the players every last dollar, but I would think we're at a point of our career where not every last dollar matters. Like, not everyone. Like, if you got $150 million, $155 million is not going to make or break your life, let alone, but that could, you know.
I know.
But it could, that $150 million or that $145 million, instead of taking the $160 million, might give you the three or four players you need to get over the hump to win the NFC North, and now you're a number two seed, and you're dangerous in the playoffs. And that it's that fickle as far as that and the difference there. And that's where, you know, hopefully there can be the right blend for you and your Viking football team.
This is a topic for another day, but the whole salary cap system is designed to play on the players psychologically.
Yeah, it preys on the players.
Things that go against their own personal interests, and they help the owners. Yeah, because I thought of this when you said, like with Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes, well, maybe they just want to help out the team. Well, you know what the team's going to do to you the moment they decide you no longer have value?
Definitely.
They're going to post happy birthday on social media and tell you to pack your shit and go.
Who was that yesterday?
They're not going to think twice about it. Somebody with the Jaguars last week got happy birthday on social media and fired the same day.
Hey, yeah, right. I know. I can't remember who it was. I don't know. It was a defensive lineman, I feel like. But, yeah, they were happy birthday. And then later in the afternoon,
hey, I'll tell you this. Anytime I see, and we're doing this on the PFT writer text chain, anytime we see someone getting wished happy birthday on social media, like NBC wished Carrie Underwood happy birthday yesterday, I texted my folks, she's next.
Gary's in trouble.
Uh-oh. So there was one more thing I was going to say about that. Damn it. Oh.
Well, you're kind of old.
It reminded me of one of the all-time great quotes from this weekend. And this encapsulates the mindset, because I want to help the team. I love the game. I want to help the team. I want to do what I can. It's all about the team. I love the game. As the great Bo Scarborough, who had a hell of a career at Alabama and bounced around the NFL a little bit, is now retired from the Birmingham Stallions of the UFL. As he said over the weekend in his retirement statement, you can love football all you want, but it won't love you back. It's not a person. It's a ball. Can't put it any better than that.
That's right.
Let's take a break. On that note, the Patriots no longer love Mac Jones back, if they ever did. He's out. We'll talk about what that means to the quarterback market when PFT Live continues right after this.